You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hello, New Point. I want to share with you a very familiar scripture, John 3:16. You probably know it. Matter of fact, many of us could quote it verbatim. But it goes like this: for God so loved the world. Yes, He loves me. Yes, He loves you. But He loves the world. And here at New Point, we've embraced that fact. And as Scott shared with us, this is why we want to address the clothing need, the education need, the water need, the trade need, the medical need, the food need, the shelter need, and the spiritual need of our world. Because God so loved the world. 2,000 years ago, God visited His world in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said these powerful, powerful words to let us know who He was and what He is about. Here's what He said: I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will not walk in darkness. He will have the light of life. Now, no doubt you know that there's two types of lights in the world. Two types. And we can perceive one, or both, or neither. The first one is physical light. And physical light is necessary for physical life. Without it, we die. The earth would certainly change very rapidly if there were no longer any sunshine or light. But there's another kind of light, and that is spiritual light. And that is necessary for you and I to experience spiritual life. And following Jesus is about two conditions of promises. The first one is that we would experience His light, that we will not walk in darkness. That basically means that when Dwight blows it, when Dwight gets it wrong, that I will be quick to acknowledge it. I'll be quick to ask God to forgive me. I'll be quick to repent of it and to change my thinking and to change my ways. That we will keep short accounts. The second promise is that we will reflect the light of light. That once God does something in us, it so impacts us that we're forgiven of our sins and that we now have eternal life. It so impacts us that now He's going to do something through you and me. You see, Jesus Christ came to be the light of the world. And then He commands you and I to be lights to the world. And so you and I, if you are a Christ follower, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, then you and I are called to be the light of the world because of Him being a light to you and to me. And so we are to reflect the light of Christ so that all can see it in you and in me. And the light is evident to others all around you. It's evident to your spouse. It's evident to your sons and daughters. It's evident to your family and friends. And so God wants to do something in me. He wants to become the light of your life so that you won't stumble around in darkness. But then He wants you to be that light to others. And just as the moon has no light of its own, and it reflects the light of the sun, God wants you and I to be able to reflect Him being the light of your life and my life. And so God wants to do something in you, And then he wants to do something through you. He says, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will not walk in darkness. And then he goes on to say this in another part of the writings. He says, you are the light of the world. You're going to reflect me. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others. Reflect my light to other people that they may see your good deeds, that they may see your generosity, that they may see your kindness, that they may see me in you and glorify your Father in heaven. And so God is calling you and I to be on mission with him. But he wants to do something in you so that he can do something through you. And whatever is happening in your life right now, no matter what it is, God is wanting to do something in you so he can do something through you. In my conversations with our son Caleb, Caleb has told me this repeatedly, and many of you know about his tragic accident. Here's what he's told me. He said, Dad, he said, I never go into a room. I never encounter another person without wondering what they're going through. Because nobody there knows that I killed a person in a car accident. And he said, my life will never be the same. What's he saying to me? He is saying that God has done something in me. God has used something that's very tragic to forever change the way in which I look at people, the way I interact with people, the way I engage with people. And that when I see them now, I see them totally, totally different. And I wonder, what tragedy are they in the midst of? What tragedy are they processing? What tragedy have they just come through? You see, what happens is, once God places his heart in you and me, once God places his light in you and me, it will shine through in all that you do, in all that I do, in all that you say, in all that I say. And when Jesus came to earth, he lived this out in a very intentional way. And Matthew records it for us, and it's there in your notes, and you can follow along on your New Point app as well. But here's what Matthew records, and it shows us that Jesus is not just calling us to be the light of the world. He demonstrated it in a very practical way so that you and I could grasp it. Here's what Matthew records. Jesus traveled throughout all the towns and the villages of that area. He was on mission, one that he invites you and I to be on, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. What's the good news? You don't have to remain the same as you are today. Your sins can be forgiven. You can experience eternal life. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. Matthew goes on to say, and when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless. They were distraught. They were depressed. They were discouraged. They lacked direction. He even goes on to say, like sheep without a shepherd. I don't know if you know anything about sheep, but they can die of thirst and there can be water next to them. They can die of hunger and there can be clover all around them. They lack direction. They lack the ability to know what to do. And Jesus, as he was walking among people in his day, he saw them as confused, harassed, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And it moved him to compassion. It moved him to compassion. You might say, well, what is compassion? Well, here's the definition of compassion. It's to recognize the suffering of others and then take action to help. It's to recognize. It says here that he saw them. He recognized them. He saw people as being sheep without a shepherd, harassed, helpless, confused. And he had compassion. He recognized that they were suffering. And he took action to help them. And then he says this to his followers. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great," meaning, you know what, there's a whole lot of people who are confused and harassed and are helpless, distraught, depressed. They lack direction in their life. He says, "The harvest is great, but the workers, the people who recognize that and will be intentional in helping out, they're few. So he says, "Pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into the field." You see, Jesus really saw people as they really were. And many times we don't. We look at one another, and even here today, you know, the person who's sitting beside you or maybe behind you or in front of you, many of us don't have a clue what they're going through, what they're experiencing, what they've encountered. And most of us here today, truth be known, something's going on that's different than what we're portraying. Somebody today has asked you, "How's things going?" And you say, "Fine. Okay, I'm making it. Could be better." But the fact of the matter is, the right description of your life would be you're harassed and you feel helpless and you're distraught and you're depressed. And the interesting thing, when he saw these people, Jesus wasn't annoyed. He wasn't frustrated. He didn't feel a sense of inconvenience. It says that he was moved with compassion, that he recognized the suffering, and then he took action. You see, this is not driving down the road and you see a homeless person and you don't know what to do and you kind of feel sorry for them, and yet by the time you turn the corner, you have already forgotten about them. They're no longer on your mind. They're no longer disturbing you. And this isn't what we're reading about Jesus here. It says that he was moved with compassion. He saw a need and then he took action for it. He saw people who were helpless and confused and harassed, and he did something about it. And that's a great time for you and I to be able to speak into other people's lives. The people that we're living with, the people that we're working with, the people that we're quote unquote enjoying life with. If we can see them as God sees them, as Jesus saw them, harassed, helpless, hopeless, like sheep without a shepherd. You see, it's so important, and it's my desire today that all of us would be able to pray this simple prayer today and realize that we're on co-mission with God. For God so loved the world that we would be on co-mission with God, that we would say, "God, let me see people in the way that you see them." That we would develop maybe that thought that Caleb is developing in his own life of saying, "I wonder what's going on in their life. I wonder what's transpiring in their life. I wonder what's happening in their life." You see, that's a dangerous prayer to pray. And yet I think that we need to do that. You see, Jesus said here, he said, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few." You know what psychologists would call that today? They would say that's the bystander effect. The bystander effect. And you might say, "Well, Dwight, what is that?" It's when somebody sees something that is wrong, that's right in front of us, and yet we don't do anything about it. You've seen it, right? It's been on the news. You know, something has happened in a city. Somebody's robbed, somebody's beaten up, and people are standing around looking, and no one's doing anything. And if you're like me, your anger begins to rise up. And you're thinking to yourself, "Why doesn't somebody do something? Don't you people care?" Well, psychologists will tell us that what happens is they don't see themselves as responders. only a bystander, one who is concerned, one who cares, but we're not going to do anything about it. And you might say, Dwight, why does that happen? Because I've heard of stories like that. And that's basically what Jesus was talking. The harvest is plentiful. Man, there's all kinds of things going on around us. But the workers are few. We have the bystander effect. Well, what happens is we have a tendency to think that somebody else will do it. We see a need. And we look around and we think, man, there's a lot of other people here. Surely somebody's going to step up and deal with that. Surely somebody's going to address that need. And so what happens is we assume that somebody else will do it. And in the end, nobody does anything. And the need goes unmet. And the problem is too many people are assuming the same thing. Too many people are not on mission. They're not on co-mission. And so what happens is it can even happen here at New Point. You can come here week in and week out. And you can have the bystander effect. You can say, well, somebody else will volunteer. Somebody else will lead. Somebody else will give. Somebody else will serve. Somebody else fill in the blank. And you would say, it's not that I don't care, but I'm sure someone is more qualified. I'm sure somebody has more time. I'm sure somebody has more money. I'm sure somebody has more talent. I'm sure somebody will do something. And they don't. It's not that you don't care, you just assume somebody else will do it. Another thought is there's really nothing I can do. I'm not really qualified. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm not educated enough. I'm not gifted enough. Though you recognize that there's all kinds of needs, whether it's here at New Point or whether it's in your community or whether it's in our world. It's just really, you know, wow, man, it's just so huge. It's just so overwhelming. I don't think I could make a difference. I don't really think that I could help all that much. I can't even begin to make a dent in that. And so what happens is we just think, you know, who am I? And probably the greatest one is fear. You know, why would I want to get involved and why would I want to be able to address the needs of people who are harassed and helpless and distraught and depressed and discouraged and lack direction? Man, Dwight, you're talking about something that could get really messy. And it might consume a lot of my time. And it might even cost me something financially to be able to get involved. And I really don't have the time. My life is busy. I really don't have the money. I'm strapped financially. And I sure enough don't have the energy. I'm tired. My life is just one of fatigue. And so I would like to get involved, but I just can't get involved. Or maybe you are afraid that you've disqualified yourself. That something has happened in your life and you just think, you know, I really don't know if God would even want me on his team. Co-mission, he wants me to be a part of his team. He wants me to be able to be a reflection of his light. He wants me to be able to make a difference in his world. Are you kidding me? And yet what you need to understand is Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 39 that we just read. It's booked in with Matthew being called by Jesus to follow him. Matthew, the tax collector, the one who had a horrible past, the one who made a mess of his life, the one who could not have been any lower on the totem pole. And Jesus says, follow me. I'm the light of the world. And I want to do something in you so I can do something through you and so that you can be the light of the world. And that you will begin to allow your good works to glorify me and my Father. And Jesus calls him to be on mission with him and to reflect his light. one who was not well thought of, one who probably at some time in his life nobody liked. But he saw the suffering, he saw the need, and Jesus called him not to be a bystander, but Jesus called him to be on mission. And Matthew so embraced this that at the end of his letter, he writes these words about what Jesus said. And Jesus is at the end of his time here on earth. And Matthew records these. And I believe the reason why is because Matthew finally got it, that Jesus was the light of the world and that he had done something in him so much that now he wanted to do something through him, and not just through him, but through every man and woman who is connected to God through the person of Jesus Christ. And here's what he writes. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." He's quoting Jesus. And what Jesus is doing here is this. We're not having a brainstorming session here, fellas. This is not something that we're collaborating on. I want you to know that I have all authority on heaven and earth. Matter of fact, I just defeated death and hell and everything. And so I have all authority. So I want you to know this is not a suggestion that I'm going to be sharing with you. It is a command. It is a commission. And the word commission means to instruct. It means a duty. And Jesus is letting them know that we're not counting votes, we're weighing votes. And my vote weighs more than all of you because I'm the light of the world. And here's what he says. He says, "Therefore, in light of the fact that I have all authority, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And here comes the commission. "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You know what he's saying? You go on commission with me, I'll always be with you. You'll always have me. And I will empower you, I will equip you, I will encourage you, I will resource you. I will give you everything that you need as we go on mission together. You see, he says here, go. He gives you and I a command. The target is huge, all nations. The assignment is big, to make disciples of everyone. Nothing like this had ever been conceived. And Jesus was saying, you know what? We're going to do this together. I'm going to do something in you. And it's going to so transform you that I'm going to do something through you. And it's going to be the light of the world. It's going to be the hope of the world. And so Matthew was so burdened by this, he shared this with everyone. And he's making a promise, Jesus, that he'll always be with us. In 1993, Kevin Carter was on a mission. And he went to countries in Africa. And he was taking photos. He was taking pictures. And he took a picture of a young girl who was crawling to a food service area. And he snapped this picture. And he stood there. And they said that he stood there for about 20 minutes. And as you can see, a vulture waits for this young girl to die. And he waited and waited because he was hoping that the vulture would spread its wings so that he could even get a better picture. But that didn't happen. So he took the picture. And it is reported that after he took the picture, the vulture left. He kind of just scared the vulture off and he left the girl. And because this picture, as you can see it here, is so moving, it rapidly spread across America. And people started asking questions about the little girl. What happened to the little girl? And he had to confess, I don't know. I don't know. And he tried to explain, "You don't understand. I was surrounded with stuff like this to the right and to the left, in front of me and behind me. It was everywhere. What am I supposed to do? What was I supposed to do?" And he won a Pulitzer for it. And yet it haunted him all the days of his life. And millions of people have seen this vid or this photo. And you know what? They've stood and they've criticized him. But my question is to the millions of people who saw this video, what are you doing? What has that moved you to do? Are they any less guilty? You see, it's easy for you and me to look at things and say, why don't they do something about it? They need to get involved. They need to change that. And some of us might be even saying, God, if you would just show me what to do, I would do it. And what I would suggest to all of us today is the need is the sign. The need is the sign. What's compassion? It's to recognize suffering and then take action to help. You see, the harvest is plentiful, but there's a lot of bystanders. And what God is calling you and I to do is to go on mission with him. He is calling you and I not to be a bystander, but to be a responder. To be a responder. To be able to say, God, I want to be on mission with you. You've done something in my life, and now I want you to do something through my life. You see, many of us, we want God to do something for us, but not in us and not through us. And so I want to share with you just in these last few moments some thoughts of maybe how you and I can move from being a bystander to a responder. Here's the first thing. Embrace Jesus' commission. Embrace Jesus' commission. If you are a Christ follower here today, you are called to do something. If you're not a Christ follower, you just need to understand, if you ever come to Christ, he calls you and I to embrace his commission, his command, to be on co-mission with him. And if you and I don't do something, we're sinning. And we need to repent. You see, here's what I want you to understand, and I want you to hear my heart on this today. It's not God's will for you to punch a clock every day and go to work every day and not be involved in the people that you work with, not be involved in their lives, and then go home and watch TV all night long. That's not God's will. It's not God's will that you have a passion to make as much money as you possibly can and then just use it all on yourself and just enjoy it in that way. Amen. It's not God's will that you go home to your man cave and play videos all night long when you're grown men. He's called you to something much greater than that. It's not God's will that the most exciting thing that happens in your life is that you get something from Amazon in the mail. It's not God's will that you get to play a round of golf, and that's the most exciting thing. Can't wait to go and play that golf course. It's not God's will that we all fulfill the American dream. It's not God's will that we spend three times as much money on our pets than we do in reaching out to a broken, hurting world. So the first thing that we need to do is we need to embrace Jesus' commission. You see, here's what Jesus says to you and I. Here's what he says. If you love me, you will keep my commands. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. And so we need to be able to embrace his commission, to be on co-mission with him, and to go into the world and be the light of the world, and to be able to do good deeds that people will be able to thank God for and acknowledge God for. The second thing is to accept personal responsibility. If we are going to move from being a bystander to a responder, we've got to accept personal responsibility. John talks about this, who wrote, "Jesus is the light of the world." Here's what he writes: "But if anyone has this world's goods, resources for sustaining life, and sees his brother and fellow believer in need, and yet closes his heart of compassion against him, how can the love of God live and remain in him? What do we say compassion is? Compassion is to recognize the suffering of others and then take action of help. What he is saying is, if you and I have enough to sustain our life and we see other people who are in need and we don't do anything about it, he's saying, how can you say that the love of God is in you? How can you say that you know God? We got to accept personal responsibility. My sister Brenda, 10 years ago, saw a picture that Kevin Carter took in 1993. And it was this picture here, or one like it. And it was an African young man who was basically drinking the urine from another animal because he was dying of thirst. My sister told me I couldn't sleep. She said, I tossed and I turned, and I said, you know what? I got to do something about this. And so that Sunday, she taught of what Jesus said. Anyone who gives a cup of cold water in my name will be rewarded. And she said, if I can only give one cup, that's what I'm going to do. But I'm not going to be a bystander anymore. I've got to respond to what God has done in me and allow him to do something through me. And so for over the last 10 years, she started something called Clear Blue. And people have given over $2 million. They have drilled 500 wells in 24 nations. She accepted responsibility. She started out just wanting to give a cup of cold water. But what does Jesus say? Go into all the world, and surely I will be with you always. I will resource you. I will empower you. I will equip you. I am able to do exceedingly abundantly, far beyond what you could ever think or even hope, if you're on commission with me. I am greater than all of your needs combined. Don't be overwhelmed with that. And so if we're going to move from being a bystander to a responder, we've got to embrace Jesus' commission. We've got to accept personal responsibility. And we have to develop relationships. We've got to develop relationships with people. That's what Jesus did. He was a master at relationships. Paul understood this, and Paul writes it like this. He says, yes, whatever a person is like, I try to find how quickly I can disagree with them. No, it's not what it says, right? That's what we do. Paul says, no, I try to find common ground with him so that he will let me tell him about Christ and let Christ save him. And so what happens is, if we're going to be on mission, we have to develop relationships with people and find common ground with them so that they will let us tell them about Christ, to build a bridge strong enough to bear the weight of truth. You see, relationships are so important because it's the answer to all of the world's needs. David said it like this, a man after God's own heart. I was young and now I am old, and yet I have never seen the righteous. Those who are in right relationship with God and right relationship with people ever forsaken, or their children begging for bread. You see, what happens is, when we develop relationships with people, we end up having the opportunity to be able to do good deeds and express the love of God and to be able to tell them about the God who loves them. And in doing so, what happens is, we can meet their needs and ultimately their greatest need, which is to know Christ. And then finally, we need to seize the opportunity. We need to seize the opportunity. We need to be able to embrace the commission. We need to be able to accept personal responsibility. We need to be able to develop relationships, but we need to seize the opportunity. Here's what Paul would say to you and I. Be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. He says, do not be foolish. What does it mean to be foolish? To know what you need to do and choose not to do it. See, he says, you already know what God's will is. What's God's will? That we are on mission with him, addressing the needs of the world, addressing the needs of people in our life, those who are harassed and helpless and hopeless. That's God's will. Maybe you're asking today, I don't know what God's will is. It's that. It's that. And yet I'm afraid that so many of us, if we're not careful, we'll end up like Kevin Carter. It is told of Kevin Carter that after he took that picture of that young African girl crawling to a food station with the vulture there, that he lit up a cigarette and he cried because he was overwhelmed with what was happening and going on. And he came back to the States and committed suicide. When you and I recognize the needs around us and we choose to be a bystander, we commit spiritual suicide. I don't want that for you. I don't want that for me. God's not called us to be a bystander. He's called us to be on co-mission with him. And today, I want to give you the opportunity to seize. Out in our lobbies, you can go out there and we have people who we have developed relationships, we're partners with, because relationships are so huge. And we want to be able to give them our time and our talents and our treasure to be able to address the needs that are in our communities. And that are in Ohio and beyond Ohio, in America and beyond America, literally to the world. And on July the 29th, we're having what we call Community Impact Day. And that's where we're encouraging all of us to go into our world, to go into our community, and to be able to be the light of the world, to be able to do good deeds, and to raise the curiosity of people and say, why are you doing this? Well, because of what God has done for me, because of what God has done in my life. And I just challenge you today to seize the opportunity. You say, what can I do? You can pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. You can give. You can give financially. And you can go. God has called you to be on co-mission with him. And I invite you to do that. Would you pray with me? God, I pray today that you would do something in us. And maybe as you sit there today, you would just say, God, do something in me. Do something in me that is so great that it creates a hunger and a thirst for you to do something through me to a broken world. Help me not to be the problem, but help me to be the solution to the problem. God, I pray for New Point. I pray for all of us that we would not be bystander. We would not allow that to affect our life, but we would be responders and that we would respond to your call and to your commission to go into the world and to be light. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.